are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here on the Locked On Big 12 podcast. On today's show, we talk to Linda Godfrey of the Locked On Pokes podcast. We talk about the news today of the quote-unquote alliance, and then we will talk about Oklahoma State football coming up this season. Hope you guys enjoy today's show. Hello, everybody. It is the Locked On Big 12 podcast. My name is Josh Neighbors. Joining us tonight, it is Linda Godfrey of the Locked On Pokes podcast. We're going to talk Oklahoma State football. We're going to talk realignment. But this is the first time, well, Linda, I just recorded something else, breaking the fourth wall there. But this is the first time on the full podcast proper, that Linda and I have talked. So, Linda, we're really glad that we finally have more Big 12 teams, because right now we've got only, let's see, it's TCU, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Now, I feel like I'm missing something. No, I think it's just you three right now. That's all we got going on, plus me. So we're glad to have more of the individual schools taken care of.
If I could talk about Oklahoma State every hour of the day, I would. So it was a pretty easy smash accept for me on this.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about right now. So we had – today's big news was the alliance has been discussed. So Jim Phillips, George Kliavkoff – so I think I'm getting that name right. There's been so much talk about how to pronounce it. But George Kliavkoff and then Kevin Warren, the commissioners of the ACC – Pac-12 and Big Ten, respectively, announced an alliance. Of course, they didn't actually announce anything. There is no formal agreement of any kind. There's no contract. But we did get, Linda, we got gentleman's agreement was the term, I think, that I saw. What did you make of the news today with the conference realignment, the alliance nonsense?
Well, I built it up much worse in my head. Like, in my head, I was like, Big 12's done. We're washed. Like, put us out. Like, we're out to dry. And then after they came out and had their press conference, I was like, maybe it's going to be fine. Like, there was just nothing. It wasn't a letdown, because I was not excited about the press conference, but I guess it exceeded expectations, in that I feel okay, better than I thought I was going to feel after it.
That's what matters, right? That we feel okay.
Because that's all that matters,
right? Is that nobody's really feeling okay right now, and nobody has been for a while. Mm-hmm. But I really do want to hit on Oklahoma State here, because I've said this a bunch. I believe them to be the most attractive team out of the entire conference, meaning, and you can make an argument, well, Kansas basketball, Iowa State's football program's in a great spot. Baylor just won a national championship. TCU has got great football pedigree. But to me, what makes Oklahoma State stand out is that they've got a top 25 football program, perennially top 25. They have a top 25. They have a really good basketball program, very strong basketball program. That's something they do have right now. Very strong baseball program, very strong softball program. They bring more than just a single sport. They do bring something else to the table, I think, and they strengthen basically any conference that they go to. The Pac-12 would get better in football with Oklahoma State in it. They just would. They get better at baseball and softball with Oklahoma State in it. That, to me, is what makes them attractive. Sure, you can say what you want about, you know, location, whatever it is, but the quality of what they bring as those sports, to me, it just outweighs what the rest of the teams in the Big 12 have right now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. In terms of like TV revenue and how many eyes are on Oklahoma State, they're definitely at the top of the board, right under OU and Texas, who of course are eventually leaving. So we're at the top of what's left. And like you said, we have other sports to bring to the table: golf, wrestling, really a myriad of different sports that we bring to the table. And our basketball program's only getting better with Mike Boynton at the helm. So when this all first started, I was like really not worried about it, because I was like, we're going to land on our feet. Like you said, top 25 football team that's been a top 25 football team for several years now. I really wasn't that worried about it. The longer it goes on, the more concerned that I am. But I do think we have enough to bring to the table that it'll be okay.
Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by Sweatblock. Sweatblock wipes are doctor created and recommended. They work up to 7 days per use. They have a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. It's featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. It's a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years. They've got over 13,000 reviews, and it's manufactured in the good old U.S. of A. Sweatblock, once again, guys, Rachel Ray Show, so you know it is legit. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it at CVS today, or at Amazon, or at sweatblock.com with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, locked on. You can get 20% off at sweatblock.com. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is also brought to you by rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is the best place to find all the parts that you need for your car or truck. And at rockauto.com, guys, I mean everything. Thousands of parts, hundreds of manufacturers. They have got you covered. Best of all, you'll spend 30, 50, or even 100% less than you would at a dealership or at a chain store. That's the guarantee that you get at rockauto.com. So go check them out today. Put Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. That way they know we sent you. Amazing selection, always low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. If you kind of had it your way, where would you like to see Oklahoma State go? If you could pick.
I've been back and forth on this, and like my home buddies, like when we talk about it, and we've talked about it in excess too much, but I think I've landed on Pac-12, which seems to be the direction that rumors are pointing. But I went through a Big Ten phase right after the initial breakup, but I've pretty much landed on Pac-12 at this point.
Yeah, geographically just kind of makes, you know, it's almost kind of like a boot, if you will, right? If Oklahoma State, if you include the Arizona schools, just the way it goes at that point. And look, would somebody else in the Big 12 come with them in this type of situation? That's kind of what I'm wondering. If I was them, you know, maybe I'd go Oklahoma State and I don't know, Texas. I mean, I think TCU is pretty valuable just because they're in Dallas and they do have the quality football program and they, you know, basketball are trying to get better, but that's kind of the direction I would go. I'd love to see Oklahoma State in the Big Ten. I think they're competitive and you know, people always talk about basketball in the Big Ten. I think Oklahoma State's program last year would have been very competitive in that Big Ten conference. Yeah. It's all about big men in that conference, which I don't really love, but still, I think Oklahoma State is pretty valuable to me. What do you think ends up happening, though? I ask you what you would like, or you know what you would do. What do you actually think does happen?
Oh man, this like sucks. I feel like I'm like worried that we're gonna try to bring in a couple schools and make the Big 12 happen. Bob Bowlesby concerns me. I don't take him that seriously. I don't know if he has our best interest, his best interest, whose interest he has in mind, you know. So I wouldn't be surprised if he tried to bring two people here and keep us afloat. But I think we can only tread water for so long. So that's the path that concerns me. And it's the path that I feel like every day we get closer to.
Yeah, it's concerning that the scheduling alliance does not include the Big 12. And look, today there were, I forgot who made it. One of the commissioners said, "I believe in Bob Bowlesby. I think they'll be fine." And I think Jim Phillips made a comment. Oh, the Big 12 is important to Power Five athletics. And really, what this gets down to, and that term to me is upsetting because it really highlights the whole problem. Right? Is the fact that there are people across this country who went to schools or cheer for schools like Oklahoma State, you know, like Baylor, like Kansas State, but not only that. People went to Troy and who they went to App State and, you know, who went to Coastal Carolina. And we're saying to you, your football program does not matter because they don't bring in the dollar figure that we really want, right? That's the whole point of the scheduling alliance, right? The whole point of bringing OU and Texas over was to make more money. The whole point of the scheduling alliance is to try to be able to counter in some way, shape, or form that revenue. And what we're saying is we've got the chance to make USC and Michigan. We have the chance to make, you know, Syracuse, UCLA, Duke, UCLA, Michigan State versus Duke, right? That's what we're looking for. because that's what it's going to help us at least try to counter those dollar figures we're going to see.
Right.
And that's the problem here, is that it leaves out so many people and so many schools. And do we want a sport that marginalizes and minimizes the importance of a bunch of schools' programs? The answer is no. I mean, it really is. But can we stop this from becoming a business like anything else in this country is?
I don't think so. I asked if I could like send a letter in or be on the board, but I haven't heard back yet. So I'm going to take that as a solid no.
Yeah. I mean, it's at this point, it's, you know, and look, if I'm Oklahoma State fans, I'm not totally worried yet. Right. I'm not.
Right.
I still think they have some stuff that's desirable. You know, if I'm like, I think Baylor and Kansas State should be more worried than Oklahoma State is at this point. And I want to ask you, like, what does it mean that Bedlam is gone? What does it mean to you that rivalry is gone? And then Oklahoma did at some point mention bringing Oklahoma State along, whether it's just lip service or not. Yeah, I know fans don't want to hear that, but I'm just going to put that piece of context in there.
No, for sure. Here's the thing. When OU came out and they're like, but we still want to do our rivalry. Well, too bad. You don't get that revenue anymore. You chose to leave with a school from another state in the hopes to make more money, and go make more money. But you don't get to beat us in football and then us beat you in every other sport and talk smack for a year. You left. You left. You don't get Bedlam anymore. That's not, and it sucks. Like, I hate it. Sure, we lose in football a lot. But when we win, oh, there is no better feeling. They don't get that feeling. Like, that's a strictly right. Oklahoma State feeling. And so, like, that sucks. It sucks that it's not going to be there, but I have no desire to like grant their wishes and still do a Bedlam series through all sports. Like, you chose the SEC, so go find a new rival.
One more word from our sponsors today. Today's show is brought to you by betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is the best place for all of your sports gaming needs. Go to betonline.ag today, guys. A couple new contests for you involving the NFL Super Contest and Eliminator pool as well. So all of that stuff available at betonline.ag. So is MLB odds, NFL odds, college football odds, futures, whatever you guys want, you can find at betonline.ag. Head there today. Check it out. I promise you guys will enjoy it. You get 100% deposit bonus right now at betonline.ag. BetOnline, they're your online sportsbook experts. Yeah, that's the casualty of this, right? This was the casualty of A&M's move. To Missouri's move right to the SEC, right? We lost Mizzou, Kansas, which is one of the best basketball rivalries in the country. No doubt about that. And A&M, Texas, which is one of the best football rivalries in the country. We lost that. Now we're getting that back, but that's not how this thing's going to work out in the end, right? We're going to lose a whole lot more rivalries than we're going to gain before it's all said and done. And look, that's another part of what college sports is about. Like, it is about Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. It is about right. Those games. Rivalry weekend happens every single year for a reason. If we're going to start going big dollar, let's see what happens. You might have a lot less games that you're filling that last week of the season with if you, or, you know, whenever Oklahoma, obviously Oklahoma and Oklahoma State's not always that final week,
right?
Depending on the Big 12 schedule. But yeah, it's you're going to end up losing a lot more games like that than you're going to, you know, regain, if you will, if you go this route.
It's just so much. It's like my entire life, my whole life, it's been boo a Sooner. Like, that's, I've yelled it at fans in Stillwater after a game, you know? So like, that part sucks that they're leaving, but I don't want to fold and give them what they asked for. If they want to go pick somebody else, then go do it. And maybe I'm just petty. I'm probably just petty, but that's but where I stand
firmly.
What
college football fans aren't, you know, what it's okay to be petty.
Sports fans, I think you're just sports fan.
But the problem is you're taking the rivalry away, so the pettiness can't continue in the way that we want it to. You know, we're getting rid of the ability to be petty because they're not gonna cross paths in the way
right.
they should, which is the sad part.
I'm still not driving through Norman.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Let's talk about the actual Oklahoma State football team this year, because I think it's a really interesting story. You and I did a short preview about it, but the expectations when they got Tylan Wallace back and Chuba Hubbard back, they were sky high. And then COVID had really I think, limited what Oklahoma State's upper bound limits were because of the lack of spring practice and getting those guys to gel. Compound that with the fact that there were injuries, the quarterback position, the offensive line got really thin really fast, and things did not coalesce for Oklahoma State in the way that they should have last year. Fast forward to now, though, Mike Gundy says, I remember him saying this, they had like a bunch of scrimmages earlier in the spring. He is thrilled about the amount of, I mean, he took advantage of the spring like nobody's business. He sounds confident. He really is, and this is where it starts, really is talking up Spencer Sanders. And that's what this comes down to. He cost them multiple games last year. And my biggest thing with him is that he can win them as many games as possible. He could win them that 10th or 11th game because I believe he is that good. How are you feeling about Spencer Sanders and this offense heading in to the 2021 season?
Man, like, I never want to talk down on players that are on my team, but critiquing in a critiquing manner, his decision making has been pretty poor. You know, we were so excited to get Spencer Sanders in. He was this 4-star recruit and Gatorade Player of the Year in Texas and all these wonderful accolades. And then so far, he just really hasn't met expectations. I don't think from where I'm standing, he hasn't met expectations. So hopefully, like Gundy has said, having all the spring practice, and I was at the spring game, didn't see a whole lot of Spencer Sanders, but some in the first 20 minutes of that spring game, and he did look fine. He's still going to roll. He's still going to run if he gets nervous, and that's what makes me nervous. When you're a dual threat quarterback, you have to also be able to make the right passing decisions, and the second anything went kind of array, he tucked and run, and that's not always going to work. I think you still have to be able to stand in the pocket and throw the ball. So we'll see how much more progress he's made from the spring game to week one. But if he can, for sure, he can win us games if he can compensate for that lack of decision making.
What do you see? Who are the guys that are going to step up and take the place of Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace? Who do you think you see taking those steps and not replacing them? Obviously, those are special players, but kind of coming to the forefront and replacing them.
Well, I think Zay Martin is going to step right into Tylan Wallace's role. He got a little bit of practice in the bowl game at the end of last year and looked really well. And then Jalen Bray is a freshman that is very exciting. I wouldn't be surprised if he was on the other side of Zay Martin. And he's just an acrobatic, another go up and get the ball at the high point kind of guy. He's so exciting to watch. And he's young, so like he's gonna be here a while, but I think he is gonna get to start some games right out of the gate. As for the running back room, LD Brown is still there. He had a strong year last year, even with some injuries. And then he's got some guys behind him. Desmond Jackson is fantastic, and he showed out at the end of last year. So a lot of the running backs and wide receivers had to kind of prove themselves at the end of last year because of injuries to Chuba and Tylan. So we've seen a little bit of what they can do. And now that they've had a full spring and full fall practice, I think they'll really put it together. I really don't think it's going to be as detrimental as it may seem losing Chuba and Tylan. Of course, they were key pieces, but I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, and I mean, you could argue they actually didn't utilize them as much as they could have last year, right? I mean, Chuba.
Right.
Like, obviously, I mean, I don't know why he came back. I thought it was a really poor decision because they loaded him up with a million carries the previous year, and you're running back. You only have so many hits you could take. I thought that was the right time to say, hey, let me do this actually to make some money now as opposed to not. And then Tylan Wallace, too. They had some problems getting the ball last year because, you know, obviously the quarterback situation was not as steady. But look, they actually have, and like you talk about, like Braden Johnson, you know, comes back, right? And the tight end spot, they're pretty old too. It's not like this can be a completely young receiving course. They do have some options there. Like you said, Jackson and Brown were both there in the past. So, and they had to play. I mean, they were a majority of the running game last year when Chuba was either keyed in on or injured. So I think you're totally right. The defense is, like you said, you and I talked about earlier, a lot better than it was in previous years. Jim Knowles, Sir Blitz-a-Lot, comes over from Duke. I love one player in particular. I love Colby Harbell. I think he is an excellent player in that back end. And I'm excited to see this defense this year. It sounds like you have pretty high expectations for them.
Oh yeah. But I'm like I said at the beginning, I always have high expectations, but with the defense, just especially in that secondary, coming back besides Colby Harvell-Pill is Christian Holmes, Eric Bernard Converse, Rodarius Williams, of course, is gone. Amon Ogbonbamiga is gone, but we've got Trey Sterling back, Tanner McAllister, Thomas Harper, Michael Flanagan. It goes on. Like, the list is insane that are returning, and we have some young guys coming in that have enrolled early and been there all spring. So I don't see how Jim Knowles isn't like chomping at the bit to get started this season, because he's got an insane defense lined up.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And I asked you this before, but I'll ask you again now as we kind of head towards the end. What is your expectation for Oklahoma State this season, record-wise? What do you think Oklahoma State ends up? Do they make it to the Big 12 championship game?
I'm going to say it right now, yes. I'm going to write it down. Because I really think that with Texas and OU going to SEC, that their the moral victories are going to all mean just as much, if not more, to the actual than the actual victories. So I think they come out with a whole different attitude and mentality this season, and it carries them to the Big 12 championship.
I love it. I love the bold predictions. All right, Linda, where can people find you and your work and what's coming up on the podcast?
You can find me on Twitter at Lindellians. The show is at @locked_on_pokes. And we're talking some of the guys that have gone on to the NFL. I've been doing all the wide receiver, running back, quarterback, defensive end, all the rooms on the football team, and keeping an eye on some of the non-conference schedule that Mike Boynton has put together. So we're having a pretty good time over there.
Awesome. Linda, appreciate your time. We will talk to you again very soon.
Thanks.
All right, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at @LOBig12. You can follow me at @JoshNeighbors_. Until next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.